welcome. Welcome back. You got just me and Weezy today, but welcome to a motherfucking episode of Horrible Decisions. This your girl, Mandy.
And I'm Weezy. Hi.
And we are here.
We're gonna have to be really dirty. Like, for
we don't have to be super dirty. So I actually wanted to talk about something that happened on my trip to London. And it made me realize why I go after the guys I go after. So I wanted to kind of talk about that. Okay. So it's not really a nasty catch up. I really haven't been having much sex because I still don't know what my pussy rate is.
I've been wanting to start the shows with like Andrew, like, when's the last time everybody have sex? But then I realized, like, maybe we're not getting fucked.
I'm not really getting fucked like that. Also,
I did have sex since we recorded with Andrew, but
we're recording right now and it's March. So whenever this episode drops, whatever. But it's March and.
Well, April
8th, literally don't have a free week. I haven't had a free weekend since February, and that literally goes all the way to June.
Same, bro.
So with me, yeah, clearly, yeah. So with me trying to make plans with people, bitch, we still have our fucking jobs because this shit bringing in money, but not enough to quit.
Oh, Manny, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I've already planned how to propose to you that we need to quit.
Wait, what?
So. I'm getting to the point very close where I'm about to quit May 1st.
I told them July.
For a sabbatical. I like that word. It feels very white and right. I just need to spend more time with my family. They're just really old. I've saved enough money. Here's what I've come up with.
Mm-hmm.
My therapist kind of helped me come up with this, though, because he's just like, so basically he said to me, you're depressed and stressed, and I can't give you a pill like I did before, because that was an irrational depression. You felt like you would never meet someone. You felt like you were helpless. He's like, right now, you're just stressed from all the shit you're doing. You gotta eliminate one of them. And it sounds like the one that isn't progressing as much is your day job.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you've saved enough. I've been investing a lot. I've made some money, flipped some shit. He's like, why don't you take 4 to 6 months to relax, enjoy your family, your life, and if you don't make as much money from gigs as you would have made in 4 months at work, then go back.
So my job does have that offer. I'm not sure at my...
like FMLA, you mean?
No. So one of the partners that I know... shout out to you because I know you listen to the show. One of the partners that I know from the San Francisco office was in New York, and that's what she did. She actually took a year off because it was a mental, and a lot of big companies are here for mental health and making sure that their employees are happy and in a good mental state. So
yeah, my therapist was telling me that. He's like, I mean,
a lot of companies
offer you that. Like, so you gonna write a note?
You just take an unpaid leave or say that you need it for mental reasons, and a lot of companies do offer that. So I told my company if I have not quit by July, it's because I fucked up somehow. I've literally been telling them, y'all not gonna see me past July. And if I'm still here, just know whatever I thought I was gonna be doing, some shit ain't fall through.
I've been thinking like even I was telling my therapist, he's like, what are you scared about? What scares you so much? Why are you scared? You told me you're gonna go on tour in fall. He's like, why are you freaking out? And I was like, you know, I'm used to the routine. I'm used to the consistency, and I'm also used to insurance. And he was like, why wouldn't you and Mandy then take insurance out on your business account? That makes sense. And I was like, I know, but like, I'm scared. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not used to that. But honestly, bro, like, the things that I've turned down because I had to work that wasn't Horrible Decisions related might be small, but they could have grown into bigger things. And I hate it.
Right.
I hate that I've had to do that. You know, I hate that when I go see my family, it's for fucking hours. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, we're going to the Miami show. That Sunday, my grandma made it very clear. I need to be at the nursing home to see her motherfucking birthday party. She's like, you finna be there? So I'm going to go fly from Miami to Orlando for 5 hours and then fly back because I got to go to work. That's insane.
Yeah, no, it is. I was talking to Joe yesterday, actually, and was telling him everything that we have going on with the podcast. And then after I let him know, and, you know, shout out again to everyone at the Joe Budden podcast. They all supported us at our New York live show. I told him, yeah, so we're doing all this. And then, yeah, I'm an accountant and she's in tech sales. And we both work over 40-hour weeks on top of everything we do with the podcast. And he was like, y'all do what? I said, yes. Yeah, so there are a lot of interviews that we haven't gotten to take and a lot of just different things that we weren't able to be like, listen, y'all got to see us after 6 p.m. Other than that, Monday through Friday, we can't see you during the day. And I think that that's limited us with a lot of things. And it's crazy because there's a lot of podcasts that I know are inspired by us and are like seeing our growth. So just know if you stay consistent, if you guys continue with building your brand strong, like, I didn't think we could be sitting here saying we about to quit our goddamn jobs for a goddamn podcast.
I mean, 2 years is a long time, but it's not, you know?
No, it's not for this.
And honestly, you know, my therapist and I, his name's Juan, he's like, yo, he's like, 4 months, right? He's like, and you need to be honest with yourself. Let's use a small amount of money, $1,000.
Right.
Let's say you don't make $6,000. Let's say you make $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't make $6,000 in those 6 months, go back. He's like, but you need to realize you may make $5,000 1 month.
And $0 the next.
He's like,
And that's my concern.
Me too.
So I've bartended. I've been in the creative space with my blog. I've seen times where I made a whole lot of money because I had a really good story drop and my analytics shut up. And then the next month, maybe nothing to where I was getting my Google AdSense. So that was always my concern with being a creative is that even with our checks, they're not consistent. Like, bitch, we literally, not to get too much into our dollars, but we just got paid for an ad we did in November.
I know.
We just got that motherfucking check last week.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not consistent, so it's hard to manage with paying bills, saving, doing all the things.
That's why we're gonna go on tour, my nigga.
I know. Well,
Charlotte, we coming. Dallas, we coming.
Don't be lying.
Boston, we coming. Philly, we coming. Detroit, we coming.
Now you lying to these people.
But we definitely doing Charlotte. I'm tired of reading about that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
The Bay Area, bitch.
No, the Bay.
You know what?
You
know what we need to do?
What?
We need to be smart about how we move. You know what I'm saying? We gonna do Texas, like Dallas, Houston, Austin, get out. We're going to do the Bay Area. Then we're going to do L.A. Get out. You know what I'm saying? Take them flights in a
we
real easy way.
We can only do that. Yeah, but when we don't have a job, bruh.
But that's what I'm trying
we
to do.
We literally, like,
know,
I done had...
So Eventbrite can pay out
bitch,
early,
I
bitch.
Told,
we out,
I done told my job, like, yeah, so... Let me know what y'all need me to do tomorrow because I have to leave early because I have a flight to Chicago because I have 2 shows this weekend. Like, so my job knows on Fridays, like, bitch, I'm going to the airport and I'm coming into the office
this
on Monday.
This week, where are we going to be? We're going to be in Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah. That's right.
So I wanted to, I guess, share a story because this opened up something to me. So while I was in London, I did London and Paris in a weekend because I'm fucking crazy. I was drunk the whole time. But first off, I felt how rich I was, too, because, bitch, we spent probably $400 in food just on the Friday between food and drinks.
Oh, easy.
And I don't even eat a lot. That was fucking crumpets and fucking dumplings and dim sum and shit.
Dim sum?
Yeah, we went to the Shard. It's a
A
restaurant called Hutong on the top of the Shard. Beautiful. Was drinking porn star martinis the whole time.
Bitch, I love me a porn star.
So fucking good. Then
I love just drinking my shit, name.
So good.
Then, y'all don't know what a porn star is, by the way.
It's so good.
It's I don't know why it's like only in Europe. I've never been offered a porn star in the States.
Here, yeah. You can make it. I asked the ingredients.
Sure.
It's a ton.
It's pomegranate. It's super sweet. Passion fruit. Sorry.
Passion fruit.
Passion fruit is sitting in there. It's super juicy. And then you get a shot of champagne next to it.
Prosecco. Is that champagne?
It's maybe Prosecco. Where you was at, it was Prosecco, bitch. Mine was champagne,
it was
bitch.
Prosecco, bitch. You just ain't know. You saw the little bubblies and got excited. That's what that shit was. No, but so anyways, we went to Sketch, and then we had dinner reservations at Novikov, and my homegirl, Adriana, shout out to her, she had us on the guest list because she was like, she ain't really want to be around niggas. She wanted to meet new niggas. So she was like, I got us on the guest list. He'll sit us at the table. And I'm like, bitch, I don't do promoter tables even in the States. But okay, I'm in another country. I'll do it. So instead of catching an Uber to the club, one of the dudes that really like her right now was like, yo, I'll pick y'all up and drop y'all off at the club. And in her eyes, she's like, well, now, bitch, we ain't got to pay for an Uber. Seemed real innocent, right?
Okay.
Wrong. He picks us up from the fucking dinner. We go like, I guess I'll share the whole story. But I'll make it short. We drive about 15 minutes away, and we notice we're still in the car. The club is only about 5 minutes around the corner type shit. So we're like, what direction are we going in? Because my friend is not recognizing the direction we're going in.
Oh, my God.
This nigga's like...
My house?
Nah, I gotta go pick something up.
No!
My nigga! I hopped out of the car so quick. I said, ma'am, we're calling an Uber because what you're not going to do is pick anything up while I'm in the car with you. And they was Nigerians, no shade, but you either a businessman or you a scammer or a street nigga. Whatever you are, you going to pick something up. You ain't having it in the car with me because I know what it is. You out of goddamn weed and you need to go pick it up. But it's now to me, that's a run. I'm not coming with you on your runs. So I hop out the car, and he's like, nah, baby girl, I wouldn't do that to you. Man, get back in. Okay, I'll take y'all to the club. We get around the corner from the club.
Oh, no. That's the sound of the police.
We get pulled over, but it's a van. Five police jump out of the fucking van.
Because niggas.
Literally. Knock on the window.
Jesus.
Ask him to pull it down. He pulls it down. He's being very, like, respectable. Hi, officer. What's the problem? Because we did absolutely nothing wrong.
Sorry.
So he rolls it down, and he's like, where are y'all going tonight? Da-da-da-da-da. Can I ask all of you guys to step out of the car, please? We're literally on, literally, and I'm looking at my homegirl like, bitch, I told you to get out. You see, if you would have listened to me, bitch. And I'm looking at my homegirl like, bitch, what the fuck is going on? Next thing I know, she's a German citizen. I'm a U.S. citizen. They take both of my passport, her ID card. And I'm like, what you need? Like, here it is. I can give you my information. What do you need my card for? She takes it. She's like, oh, as long as we don't find anything in the vehicle, we'll give it back. They have two police officers, all doors open, trunk open, flashlight, looking under everything. And I'm just looking at her, and
must
I'm like,
must have been the tag. They knew them niggas.
It's the tag. Adrian, she told me that. That's what I said. That tag is marked. And whether it's for drugs or whatever, they looking to get that nigga. Mercedes, nice car. He's telling it's because I'm black. His window's tinted. They ain't see you as black from behind, bitch. So I'm literally looking at Adrian, and I said, I don't think you understand. Mind you, my friend is much younger than me. This is her first time experiencing this.
How old is she?
She's 22.
That shit's happened to me before.
So I'm looking at her, and I'm just like, you don't understand, Adriana. If they find as little as a blunt in that car, we are all going to jail. So I'm sitting here talking to the other officer, and I'm just like, listen, I don't even know these motherfuckers. I just landed today. You could look at the passports.
Contemplate, nigga.
Oh, I was already like, bro, I don't know these people. Like, she just met him a month ago, and it's because he drove by and liked her. Like, bro, we all know these niggas like that. And I'm literally, like, trying to say, I don't... Then I was like, they technically are Uber
drivers. Yeah, so you don't know him. So you just in the car with somebody you don't know?
That's pretty much, bitch. And I was like, they technically are Uber driver. Then I almost got up. He was like, oh, is this an Uber driver? I said, technically, but we ain't call them on the Uber app. So they wasn't trying to buy that. So they're still looking. So this is where a few things happened to me. And this is what I wanted to share with the listeners. So he starts getting, mind you, there's two niggas, one in the van. I don't know. This is another reason why I got scared. As we're all pulled out, the driver is already handcuffed. And I'm just looking like, bitch, why? He's in handcuffs. So as he's in handcuffs, they're questioning us. He's trying to say sorry to her. But now he's starting to get slick with the cops. And this is where I realized, and I didn't realize how much I had been affected, that I have PTSD from what's going on here in the States. And as he's starting to get snappy with the officer, I'm yelling at him at this point. Like, do exactly what he says. Stop with the smart mouth. Stop getting slick. Give him whatever he wants. Let's wait till the car is searched. Stop talking to him like that. Like, I'm literally telling
him. And they have guns in the UK.
Yeah, so I'm literally.
By the way, I only mentioned that because, like, in France, I know you went to France.
Yeah, oh, they were big rifles, too,
they're
bitch.
Not in France. No? Yellow jackets is a big protesting thing going on, but they shoot out these metal kind of balls. They're not, they can't kill you, but they'll, like, maybe knock off something. But in London, they do have guns.
So,
I'm pretty sure, right?
So he's, I mean, I was just,
Google that.
I was thinking.
I'm pretty sure they do.
At this point, I was already coming up with how I was going to have my Locked Up Abroad episode. I was already thinking.
You're like, content.
I was already.
I was.
Do you know that's what the fuck my friend said as soon as I fucking told her in the car? Mind you, I'm going to let me get back to the story so I could tell y'all how I was crying like a pussy hoe. So finally, they find nothing in the car. We get our IDs back. I said, Adriana, we walk into the club, ho. I said,
oh, British have no guns.
No guns.
So I'm sorry. I apologize. That means that's why he was talking slick.
Maybe that's why he was talking slick.
I thought that the UK was one of the only.
They're tight on guns.
Not having guns.
It's like having a gun over there.
Okay. That's why they're always like six people taking someone out.
Well, yeah,
sorry.
There was six cops, well, in this car at once. So we're all getting checked. There's two checking the car. There's two questioning.
So that's
the
why
other
he
guy.
Was talking like
He's
that.
He's talking slick to the one officer, and the other officer is with us. So finally, they come back, and they're like, okay, nothing's been found in the car. They give us our passport and ID back. And we start walking away. I'm like, Adriana, we finna motherfucking walk to the club. So we walk back. They let him go as well. They uncuff him. And he comes running to us at the end of the sidewalk, trying to apologize, saying he's sorry. And all I do is burst into tears. And I say, back home, they kill y'all. And that's all I kept saying because he was so, like, getting so snappy with him. And I just did not want to be a part of it. Like, I'm about to cry now. They were like, you're so pussy. But I literally was like, I didn't realize how much seeing all these black men die from the police affected me because I don't put myself in those situations. And to be in that situation, like, I literally had to tell my mom, I said, I think I need therapy now. Like, I didn't realize that me seeing the videos on Instagram, me reading the news articles, and seeing how many of our black men die, being in that situation right there, I was just like, I was scared for him. I was scared for me because I know they looked at, we're black women. So I know they wanted all of us gone. And I didn't realize how it affected me. So before I go to cry, I go to say, this is why I realize when we talk about dealing with hood niggas, street niggas, scammers, this is why I know I don't put myself in those positions.
But the truth is, Manny, the sad thing about it is it ain't going to take a hood nigga to die.
No, it's not going to take a hood nigga to die. However, my friend just got a new job. I said, just because we were in the car with them, this would have affected your new job. I said, do you think if I would have just called my job and said, oh, by the way, I'm in jail right now for drugs because that's what they have me in here under.
Right.
Wait till I get out. No, I would have lost my job. And so even it's something that, and this is a tip to you ladies, who if you're into men who may sell narcotics or carry around large loads of narcotics or anything that could cause him to go to jail.
Don't be the ride or die,
bitch. Don't get in the car because even if you don't know that it is there, if you get pulled over and that is found, you're both.
So there's a documentary on HBO. I can't think of the name of it, but it's about a woman who goes to jail by association.
Mm.
She was with a dude who had a bunch of cocaine or drugs or something. I watched this months ago. He dies. She gets married. Years later, they pin it on her. She goes to jail. She's still in there. She got three kids.
See?
The fucking camera crew is, like, showing the husband with the kids. They say that it was her. Like, bro, it's insane.
It's so sad. And just getting caught up in that type of lifestyle. Like, I get it if you want to be a ride or die. But I will say this is why I deal with the guys that I do deal with. And I don't have anyone in my phone right now that does involve themselves with, even though I was looking for a scammer, just not to deal with because I wanted some shoes. Like, for cheaper. But I don't deal with those type of guys. And this is why I feel like it will affect my livelihood just being around
Bro,
them.
Bro, what you went through, I'm sorry because I misspoke. I meant to say the opposite. So I know that the UK, maybe I knew that they didn't have guns. And I didn't know that.
I was going to say. I just saw white cops yelling.
Maybe like, that's why he was acting like that. That's what I meant to say. When you were saying he was talking
to me,
snappy.
I didn't know.
But that's the thing that's crazy, right? It's like we watch something happen and the abuse of power. And something very interesting I learned while in Paris. So Scissors and I were walking. We were staying on the Champs-Élysées, and we're going to get brunch on Saturday. I know about the Yellow Jackets, heard about it, did not know Saturdays were their day.
Yeah, that's when I went to Paris. It was on a Saturday.
Can I get my phone really quick? Y'all ain't gonna believe, like, literally. So I'm walking with her. We see smoke, and I'm like, do you want to see what that is? And I'm like, just not even, that was white to me. We were walking closer.
For sure. I'm not. I was walking away. I said, bitch, there's too many cop cars around here now. We got to go.
No. We didn't see that.
I said, snap a picture?
This is from far away. It looked like a mistake. Like it didn't look like, I didn't see them protesting yet, right? So we start walking closer. Literally in front of me, you'll hear it. This is me just recording. Listen to the sound that happens. They are fucking bombing the middle of the streets. So just like blowing shit up. Like,
by the time I got out there, there was a lot of windows like in the shop area by the little
Look at
thing.
The glass. Things have burned down. So basically the Yellow Jackets are protesting because they don't like their president. The left and the right are getting together. What I've heard is livelihood has become very expensive for the white middle class. Now, there's a few things about this. I'm all about a fucking riot. I believe in riots. I believe in all of that shit because I believe, fuck it, soldiers die in war and that's how we get shit done sometimes. That's just the way I protest. Now, what I've learned about what they did is crazy. They are out of fucking control.
Yeah, they're ruining the stores, the glasses, the door, everything.
They are also a country that has 30-hour work weeks, the most public, like, crazy public holidays, six weeks of paid vacation. So they fight for what the fuck they want. And they're not on some pussy shit like we be. But.
Like we be.
We do be on some fucking scary shit. Like, our protests aren't real protests. Let's keep it a stack.
I like the peaceful protesting.
That is nothing.
I like it.
Marching, my women's march thing, that's a nice time for camaraderie, but that does not get shit done. However, we're not scared. They're not scared to die. And that's that reaction you had is because that's how we feel. And this woman said to me, so me and Scissor sitting having brunch. We like, damn, should we even sit outside? She's like, no, you're safe. Telling us everything. And she said, I was like, you know, well, our police have guns. You guys are all loud and shit. We have guns. And she goes, why would our police have guns when we pay for them? Why would they kill us when we pay for that? Can you imagine that? A world you're living in where you pay for the police and they kill you? My nigga. When she said that shit to me, as simple as a concept as it was, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And it's not even like we can fight against the fucking regime because look at what they do.
But what's crazy is kill us. You telling me that the UK doesn't even have guns. Like, I didn't even see a gun pulled, nothing. But I was still just terrified at a black man with all white cops. And I was terrified.
Yeah, so, like, I've seen videos of how to disarm people in the UK. So what I was thinking when you were saying that was, like, okay, well, maybe this is why he's like, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it. But, my nigga, me and Scissors was in the car coming from Fun Spot in Orlando. Just had a red light. Dude was getting pulled over. We like, ooh, bitch, what's going on? Suddenly he starts running real fast, across the street, across Kirkman.
Yeah, nah, bro, I would have been scared.
When I tell you, I almost threw up from nerves that he was going to get shot while he was running. First of all, we live in Orlando. You know Trayvon Martin died when I was living there. I don't think you were
living
there.
I was in Sanford, nope, but I was definitely
that is right around the corner. And it's like my body, the way my body reacted, like the fear I had. I couldn't stop talking about it for 2 days. Yeah. That
so
shit is a real thing.
I felt that. So it was just, I don't know, it was crazy. So I'm glad that you even had a thing.
I'll try to talk about sex right now. I had sex.
Did you? Oh. Who would have thought?
Not this pussy. So Beard Bay and Scissors and I did not have sex yet. We are planning a fucking trip. We're all going to fuck.
Okay.
I'm really excited about it because I just couldn't have curated this better. Like, she wasn't really into it at first because
I remember you saying that.
Because she thinks I like him.
You do.
So, whatever. So, but my feelings, I believe, that now after Paris, I think she knows that it's more like she's my person. So right. I think she's feeling more confident about that. However, with him, my feelings are getting deeper and it's almost a little bit scarier. Like, he came. Right, we're hanging out. He's in New York, and we had dinner together. And I was like, "Damn, yo, like, I fuck with this nigga." And Blue Check, you remember who that was?
I haven't heard of you mention him at all.
Cause I'm in fucking Beard Bay. So he hits me up like on some, "Oh, I got the wrong number, shit." And I'm like, "Really?" He's like, "Oh, 407. Oh, yeah, I thought it was my nigga from Orlando. But what's up, though? I just wanted to say congrats on everything." So then you didn't know who it was, nigga. So I tell him, I got an attitude because I kind of don't, like, just say you want to call me.
Right.
I had a little attitude about it, and he's like, "You clearly fucking another nigga." That's what he said to me.
What's the problem?
And I'm like, oh, my God. Is that when we reject niggas? Like,
it is, and they know it, bitch.
I wanted to be like, no,
they know. Niggas know when you got a new dick that you like kind of more into that other dick.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, so to wrap it up, whatever. Went out with Beard Bay. We hit up Max Fish, had a good time. We get back to my place. We have sex. It's great. We're watching Deez and Mero, and I'm rubbing his back. I stop. He starts rubbing my legs. We're not having sex anymore. This is after sex. And he puts my toes in his mouth. Like, all of them.
Oh!
A lot of the fucking toes I had. All of them. And then, like, proceeded to go onto the other foot. And, like, got all of them. Like, every toe.
You know what? Wait, you want to know? Did you?
Like, took.
You didn't hear. You ain't see my IG live at all?
No.
I just met a guy who literally said he wants to gag on my foot.
What?
Yes. I'll show you his picture. Let me show you his picture.
So he was, okay, you know I'm not into feet like that. But the way he licked them. So, like, let's pretend this is my toe. He, like, traced them shit, bitch. Like,
so that he, this guy, literally, that I just met, and we haven't had sex at all or anything, but somehow, of course, got into the kinks. And he said he has a major foot fetish. He said, I want to do everything to your feet. He said, I want you to make me clean them. He said, I want to massage them.
Let me see.
He black.
Let me see.
And he said something else that I want you to do is make me gag on your foot. I said, well, how will I know when, like, it's
you'll
too deep?
You'll feel the tonsil?
No, he said, you'll know. So I don't know if that means he wants to throw up on my foot or not. So I'm a little
just
nervous.
Just like you'll know about gagging on a dick.
So
I thought I was going to be totally disgusted by it, but I'm so turned on by Beard Bay, and I was looking at him, and he was kind of doing it real sexy. And I was into this shit. This nigga!
That nigga wants
damn,
to gag
fine,
on my foot.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Model nigga.
Yeah. Another model nigga. Yep. And
he looked like
super, super into it.
Oh, look at this with his family.
Wow. Yeah.
No, I'm not showing the camera.
But yeah.
I mean, wow.
I bet,
like,
his family doesn't know he's gagging on feet.
Wow. He has a whole mother. Look at that.
And I said, I don't know if it will fit all in your mouth. And his response was, it will. That was his response to my whole foot fitting in his mouth. He said, it will.
Yo, my nerves.
He has a video of him gagging on a foot.
Show me!
He didn't send it to me.
Oh.
But he sent me the picture of Lori Harvey's foot on Trey Song's face and said, I want you to record when your foot is in my mouth. Like, so he's going to let me record him gagging on my foot. So I'll be able to do that. We haven't fucked yet at all, no. But he's super.
Is that how you cuddled with?
No, this was... Damn, stop. No, this is another nigga. Damn, you making it sound bad, bitch.
I was just going to ask you, cuddled your feet.
No, we haven't cuddled yet. We haven't even gone out yet. Like, this is a new
thing.
But I am telling him, if I experience this kink with him, this isn't something that I think I would 100% be into. So I did tell him he has to let me peg him. And he said he's never done that before. And I said, I'll be gentle. So now I told him, I said, if you want your kink, can I have my kink too?
That's have my kink and eat it too.
Have my kink and eat it too. There go the goddamn
there
title, bitch. So we're going to get into the kink of the week. Speaking of kink, ho. And the kink of the week is actually from you guys. I do want to say, if you guys don't follow us on Twitter or Instagram, you guys really do help a lot with the outlines more than you think. So the kink this week actually comes from someone tweeted a video of a woman twerking on top of a cake.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And was like, this has to be a kink. And be at us.
First of all, we've actually talked about this.
Yeah, so I wanted to get into the, not really into this, not really into the, even, maybe
no.
The feeding.
We did a vanilla shit on it.
Yeah.
A woman who is making money, like, smashing it.
Something like that. So basically, the kink, guys, and I want to shout out Michelle Hope. She's the one who sent me the actual name of the kink. It is cytophilia, which refers to the sexual arousal or gratification achieved through the use of food. Now, I do want to say this is different from feeding. What is the feeding? There's a kink.
Feeding and feeder, you mean?
Feeding and feeder, where you like to watch people eat food. This is just through the use of food. So the Urban Dictionary says it's a form of sexual fetishism in which participants are aroused by erotic situations involving food. So I would say the fact that she was twerking on a cake made that more of like an erotic thing. It's weird because a lot of comments under it was like, "Ooh, her pH balance got to be fucked up now," because she was literally frosting just going all in your pussy. That can't be healthy. You be
it's
talking
yeast.
About the pH. Is it yeast?
That's the problem.
And sugar. Sugar probably shouldn't go down there either.
Well, that's the main problem is the yeast. Like, you really want to stay away from that. Like, I have a friend of mine who has candida right now in their whole body, and it's so serious. Like, the foods that he's had to change in his life, like. Yeast can really fuck your body up.
Like, that's why that's like gluten, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure,
kind of,
I guess.
Right? It's in bread.
I don't know if you could have like allergic reactions in that sense, but it more so can fuck your body up as far as like productivity. But like, yeah, it'll completely fuck up
so
your
body. So do you have any
food in your pussy shouldn't happen.
I was about
happen.
To say, do you
food
do you,
on your body.
Would you recommend any safe foods?
No.
At all? Like, so
what, like dairy-free, bitch?
Maybe almond
milk. Honestly, I have not. I've never had anybody write in, at least to me, in regards to pH, about food. And I think it's because normally food doesn't have to do with entry. Like,
but if it's around there. So, like, maybe the whipped cream on the pussy. Or I like peanut butter. I don't know if I want peanut butter if I'm a pussy.
But that's different because that's on top.
What if it's body? What is? It's not on top. That's what I'm saying.
I've even had someone put whipped cream on me. It still went in. Like,
what if I put whipped cream on the tip of your dick and a little bit of the whipped cream get in your pee hole? Is that going to affect your pee hole? You could get a yeast infection in your pee hole, right?
Urethra.
Will that affect it negatively? Because y'all don't have pH balance, so.
Well, the problem is, like, when men have, like, men can get UTIs.
Ah.
You want to know something funny? I was just telling someone this story. Oh! God, this is embarrassing. I went to a class called Aqua Cycling in Tribeca. The day.
Oh, of course you did. You want to be drowned. Go ahead. Of course, she say talking about some goddamn aquaphilia with an aqua.
So anyway, I did it the day that we went to Paris, and I was like, you know what? Because I was sitting talking to the instructor for a while, and I was in that water a long time. I was like, let me take one of them little azo pills because I was like, I don't even want to be fucked up. And when you take a UTI pill, it makes your shit come out orange. So me and Scissors go to the club. We go to this place called Jungle in Paris. Bomb ass hip hop spot. We go to the bathroom and we've been flirting all night and we know we're ready to fuck, right? So we get to the bathroom and I wipe and I look at it and it's like deep orange. And she goes, you see, you told me you weren't even going to be on your fucking period, dog.
I was like, wait, it's just my pussy.
So she ate your orange pussy?
No, we waited a day. But okay. I was going to say, when men take it, right? You know how we pee and it comes out orange? I was fucking a dude that took one because we went to the beach.
His dickhead was orange because he used to fuck white boys.
Not the dickhead. Oh. He was black.
Oh.
We went to the beach and I was like, yo, I'm like, I'm feeling kind of weird because that sand, we had sex in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, let's both take these. So we had sex that night and when he came, it was orange.
No way that comes
on my mama,
orange, bruh.
On my mama, on her life.
That was something else.
It was fucking orange.
He had something else, sis.
No, bitch.
Yeah, bruh, that was something else.
Anything that comes out of your urethra is orange.
Nah, bruh, he had something else.
It's the azo.
Did you swallow it or was it on your face? You had orange cum on your face? Did it glow in the dark?
I was sucking his. I started laughing. And it was funny because when he saw it come out, because he didn't know it was going to be orange. He knew his pee was orange.
Right.
He was jerking off into my face. I saw it. I'm laughing. He's laughing while he's coming. Like,
that is funny.
He said it was the worst orgasm he ever had because he was like, what?
That is hilarious.
It was really weird.
That's funny.
Speaking of the beach. One of the places that we're going on this three-way trip is beach. And I'm going to be honest with you, dog. I want to make sure everybody's urethra is safe because I plan on getting fucked for the 3 days that we there. We've already planned this shit. I'm like, oh, you going to take us to this nice restaurant? He's like, yep. I'm going to be like, table for three. I was like,
I'm done.
And I want to make sure that nobody has bullshit going on. Scissors may possibly have her period, and I'm tired of eating pussy with, like, on my pen.
Yeah,
shit.
I'm, like, praying by that time I'm not dealing with my period.
Right? Like, I'm trying to be on the beach flat.
All thing. On it.
I'm right on the SL. Like,
on it. Mm. So we going to get on into motherfucker the horrible decision. The horrible decision this week, we didn't skip vanilla shit, but the horrible decision this week is mad vanilla shit. So I have four articles that I want to go through, talk shit about, see what we have our thoughts on. The first one, I love.
Mike stinks. I thought it was me. I thought it was like.
It probably is you.
No, it's not. I showered after the gym.
Mm-hmm.
This mic smells stank because people be spitting on it. Is that what it is?
Bitch, I was just on that mic, pussy
hoe. It's not me, but I'll put it on.
Nah, but I was just on that mic, so she talking shit. Oh, bitch, she talking shit. Puss the hoe.
That was such a smart idea.
Terrible. Listen, don't be doing this on camera because, look, if that shit get fucked up, I ain't paying for it. It's coming out of Weezy's check.
No, it just really.
So this one comes from The Sun, and this is actually hilarious. Newly engaged Jennifer Lopez claims that all men are useless before they are 33.
I like that.
I love it.
What about us? What do you think our age is?
Oh, I think we good as soon as we like 17, 18, for
real.
I think
25, because we need to get that hoe out.
You think I think the hoe can come later.
It can, but if you could enjoy, I think we need till 25, and I think niggas need 7 more years.
So So J-Lo had a reason why she said this. She said, it can take men into their early 30s to establish their professional career. That's why I be dealing with these, not athletes, straight out of
hat. Hold on, stop, because you like, you a young nigga.
I do like young niggas, but they still be millionaires, most of them. Okay, she said that it can take men into their early 30s to establish their professional career and feel a sense of financial stability, which helps them feel more secure in life. As a result, this can give them the maturity that comes with accomplishment, experience, and success. Sometimes you see a guy who's in several relationships, but then in his early 30s, suddenly he meets a woman and is ready to marry her. You think that a woman is useful, you said, at 25?
I'm not saying that we're useless, but I think 25 is a good age to where we've lived a lot of life. For example, when I was straight out of high school, I met an older guy, and he moved me into his place. And there was a lot of times, even though he was a cheating asshole, that I couldn't understand the concept of female friendships.
Okay.
And I think that that took growth and maturity. I just wouldn't understand. I was like, why do you need friends that are girls? Or if you had sex with her, how could you still be friends with her? And when I got older, I realized like, oh, like, duh, of course I need to have male energy in my life in a platonic way. Of course. Right. You know, and it's so confusing to people. I've said on this podcast before or made a joke about how the first time I went to the movies with Alex, he was like, is this a date? And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, okay. Because I think we're always so confused. But once you establish a boundary, you can really have a lot of growth
there. Really good friendships.
Yeah.
And I agree.
I think that's something that takes, it takes age and you got to live a little life.
I think that takes, and I would say that does take a lot on the man's side of things. Because even like, I could be texting a guy and that's all it'll go to. And a lot of men will be like, oh yeah, we used to talk. Hold on. Just because we were having a conversation does not mean that it left being platonic. It did not leave us leaving a friendship. Nothing about that was sexual. And I think that comes
even
with
gay
age
relationships,
too.
Like with, I mean, lesbian relationships with women, I think that shit happens probably too.
Yeah.
You know, because we can be emotional or overreact or whatever. Like, I've just had a thought when you said, oh, I'm watching a show called Temptation Island. By the way, I'm thinking about doing a Patreon episode doing just accents and reality TV shit because that's all I go on IG Live.
See, and it's crazy. You watch all the different shit. Like, I'm really into, like, Married to Medicine, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, those are the shows
I love.
Oh, I
want the tea from couples, bitch. So Temptation Island, there's a couple. I'm not going to talk about the show. But there's a couple at the end that stay together. And one of the things she says, the only thing I want is I realize we need friendships with other people. We need to live our mm-hmm. own lives. They had no other men or women in each other's phone, and they'd been together since they were 16. And to me, all the, you know, so basically the couples go in a house, they live with single people.
With single people.
That really shows you, like, okay, I'm not attracted to you, but yes, I can't only have women in my life. I love them, but
yeah, I need that testosterone from time to time.
Yeah,
I agree. Nope, I don't want it. So the next conversation, a lot of you wanted to hear our thoughts on, and we are pro sex workers. We are allies with sex workers. And so I wanted to bring this part up. As you guys know, Cardi B was under fire this past week or so with a video that came out of her IG Live.
Nicki leaked that shit.
You know, probably. Well, hey, man.
Definitely.
But basically, Cardi B said that she drugged and robbed men because she had limited options. I want to read exactly her quote when she said that. She said, I made the choices that I did at the time because I had very limited options. I was blessed to have been able to rise from them, but so many women have not. Whether or not they were poor choices at the time, I did what I had to do to survive. So I've been seeing a lot of people say that you have choices, even as sex workers, like you didn't have to sign up to rob and drug men and take their money the way you did. And so I kind of wanted to know if you had any thoughts on that, because I've spoken to some of my friends and got their feedback and definitely wanted to share what I spoke about.
I think the reason it's easier to digest the Cardi thing than it is a Cosby thing is because Cosby's intention was more hurtful. I know that you're still hurting these men, but maybe because it had to do with their bodies, doing
the bodies
something against
different.
Their will.
Yeah, that's
not saying
thing.
That. It's hard. It's a hard thing to say, much like if someone, you know, I don't believe a sin is a sin. Like,
right.
You know, if you so rob you, someone or you rape them, I don't think robbing is that bad.
Compared you know to I'm raping. Saying? No, I agree with that. And so I spoke to a couple of my friends who are escorts and tried to get the sense to where a lot of them were defending Cardi. And of course, the men were like, ah, oh, this bitch ain't shit, da da da. I don't want to get into the but rap like aspect of it. No, but not only safety. She said that what you guys have to realize, because a lot of people were thinking it was bullshit with her saying it was a means of survival and things like that. So speaking to my friends, and I won't say their names, the ones who do it, they came back and reassured me every time we meet a guy, there's a fear of if that person is going to kill us, if they're not going to give us the money they said they were going to give us, if they are going to violate and rape us. And they said that a lot of them have an instinct with this. And so in the case of her saying it was a means of survival, it could have been that maybe this person she felt wasn't going to pay her up or felt like he was going to do something. And there is a human
instinct. I don't know about that. I think she said... why she was doing it.
Well, yeah, this is where it's not to sit here and dissect what Cardi said. It's for what my friend said, why they may go to a means of robbing a nigga, drugging a nigga, doing the things that they do in this field of work. Because essentially you're in a space where A, you are doing what you're doing to make money, but there are a lot of ways where the men still have the upper hand. Even though you're laying down the rules, you're asking for the money, you're setting the price, and you're letting them know what they have, but there's a lot of incidences where you're in these rooms and you don't feel safe.
Right.
And so I guess it's the flip side to choosing to do this. And so I would say maybe it wasn't her intention even in saying it, but in a means of survival, she could have also been saying, I resorted to sex work as a means of survival. Not the...
Didn't Cardi once say... that, and I remember Ali Triple X was saying this when I was in Houston. Or no, I was in Dallas. She was like, fuck Cardi. She didn't say fuck Cardi, but she was like, Cardi was shaming sex workers.
Shaming sex workers, yes.
I was stripping, but I never did that.
So never had sex for money. That's the thing. So the guy who even allegedly came out and said the whole Cardi thing said that I remember Cardi twerking on me. Next thing I remember, I look on the floor and there's a used condom and my iPad, $850, and jewelry was missing. So there was an allude to sex, but he didn't say, I remember fucking her. And so...
I don't believe that Cardi's never fucked for money talking like that.
No, I wouldn't believe that she's never fucked, but that may have been her means of resorting to it. I'm meeting you in the sex club. You think you're going to fuck me after for more money. And instead, that was her means of making money, is drugging niggas and robbing niggas.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily ever planning to have sex with them.
I mean, it's all some hood shit. And the rap thing...
it is.
And the rap thing you mentioned, I saw Leah McSweeney said something like, and as much as I really fuck with Leah, like, I like her, a lot of her opinions, I don't agree
with. Oh, you hate them. That's why we had to wait to get her on the show.
But she said one thing. She said... You know, we've listened to rappers for years talk
Everyone
about all of
this
shit with
yep.
women. Even Rick Ross,
yeah.
who was talking about Put a Molly. Well, damn, I can't even remember the...
Yeah. Fuck. Put a Molly in a drink and she enjoyed
it.
She ain't even know it.
She ain't even know it. That's right. And we gave him a little bit of shit for it, but not like this. I mean, I think social media is probably a little bit bigger now, but we've listened to niggas talk about...
He lost money over that line.
Okay.
So, but that's the thing. We've glorified rap for the robbing, the killing, the fucking hoes, the doing this, the cheating. And now a bitch coming out and saying, and she doesn't even rap about this, but this was her life. She is a rapper. She's in hip hop. Why are we going to sit here and be mad at her? When, mind you, I was just with my homeboys last night. They said these new niggas really about that life.
Like what?
Which is why YME Nelly, he said NBA Youngboy. He said, oh, that nigga got shooters. He said, like, these young boys are walking out of here, but they bout that life. And so we've sat here and glorified the rap music for what it is. And now these is really shooters, which is why we have Bobby Shmurda in jail, 6ix9ine in jail, YM whatever Melly killed his goddamn friends. Them rappers living the life that we essentially really like to
listen
to.
Shit, what did Drake say in Going Bad, talking about got a sticky and I leave it at my dog's place. That's what you got
to
do.
You got to.
By the way, we should definitely take a moment to shout out our today's sponsors, Lola. Let's get into that ad.
Yes, I'm so excited that we have partnered with Lola, guys. If you guys do not know Lola yet, it is a subscription base where you get all the goodies coming straight to your door in a discreet box. You don't even know what it is.
So you can also buy one-offs. You don't have to get the subscription.
It doesn't have to be the subscription.
I did buy them wipes. I really fuck with them white. You know what I'm saying?
So basically what you can get, they do have organic tampons. They have things that are better since we're putting shit inside of our pussies. They have a lot. They have pads. And then they also have Sex by Lola. So you can get the wipes.
Condoms.
You can get condoms, lube. And
this is a woman-owned company, guys.
Yes.
I know a lot of you have. Actually, we just had somebody on. I guess it was... Oh, it's an episode in the future.
Yeah.
A doula. And like the last thing she said was support women businesses and blah, blah, blah. Lola is there. They're a woman owned company, organic shit. Now, all we talk about is pH. All I talk about is pH.
You do. You a pH queen.
pH patty, ho.
And
I just really want you guys to understand, like, if we could sit here and be so concerned about the food we put inside of us, like, I don't even use tampons. And I know everybody drags me for that. But it's because I'm scared to put something inside of me that's, you know what I mean? Like a foreign object. Dick is, I know that.
Dick is, you like foreign dicks too.
That's a
technically. No, but I really like that this is there. And also, if you're going to put your money towards Tampax and all these other fucking brands that we don't know what it's in, at least support another female-owned company. Support and know what's going in your goddamn vagina. So for 40%. Off of all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and you're going to enter promo code WDP when you subscribe. So again, you're going to get 40% off your subscriptions, bitch. That's almost half off. I know numbers, bitch, and I'll take 40%. I'm just saying.
Because math is mathematics.
Don't do that.
And these Lola products may be, I guess they're not science since they're organic.
No, you know that. I'm here for all of that. So guys, definitely go to mylola.com, type in promo code WDP.
They have great smelling stuff, by the way. Something that, you know, when you get organic shit like Lola products, I've mentioned Emrita. Like with the Summer's Eve, it tastes
it's so bad.
It smells so flowery.
Yeah.
It smells so strong. But like with the Lola wipes that I tried, it's just a very clean. It's not overbearing.
I don't like that extra floral shit anymore.
Because it makes you seem like you went to the bathroom and sprayed something.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
You know what I'm saying? And that's a very uncomfortable feeling being with anyone. Like, nah.
Nah, I ain't for that shit either. And fellas, we done talked about it at the live show. If the pussy smell like straight soap or flowers, that shit might be a little tart. That shit might not be right. Might be a little taint.
When you hit the back.
I'm just saying. You're going to get a little breeze.
Fellas, if you would like to support women like ourselves and you want to help out, definitely get the lube. Get the condoms.
Yep.
Get the tampons for your bitch.
Yes, get all that shit. So we're going to get back to the show.
Thanks,
now.
Thanks, Lola, for supporting
this. Thank you, guys. So the next vanilla shit that I want to come is actually from lovebscott.com. I love Love B. Scott. I used to read it all the time when I was in Atlanta. This is hilarious. And I figured we would take a little cackle at this.
A cackle?
A cackle. I mean, it's just, you know.
Oh,
woman
pee.
Fakes her own kidnapping and death after discovering her boyfriend is poor. So the woman surnamed Yu had been dating her boyfriend Lin for a while,
wow.
But she only learned that he was poor after visiting his home during Chinese New Year. It was something she apparently just couldn't get over, so she decided to leave him, but fearing that he would get clingy and refuse rejection if she simply told him she wanted to end the relationship, Yu devised a plan to make herself disappear.
Wait, so how did she like...
I'm about to tell you, ho.
She made an obituary with the vigilante. What's it called?
She said... On February 21st, shortly after returning from the disappointing visit to Lin's hometown, Yu disappeared from the couple's dormitory at the Huangpai Jingdongdong Industrial Park.
Her name is Yu?
Her name is Yu. His name is Lin. And a few minutes later, she called her boyfriend to tell him that she had been kidnapped by her ex-husband. Come and save me. My ex-husband has kidnapped me. Come quickly. I think I'm on the highway already, the 37-year-old woman said before abruptly ending the call.
Oh, she's trash.
Bro, to make her kidnapping seem more believable, Yu then sent her boyfriend several text messages pretending to be her kidnapper. warning him that she would be killed if he dared call the police. She then followed up with more texts informing Lynn that she had been killed and her body had been thrown in a lake. Unable to negotiate with the kidnapper, a distressed Lynn eventually called the police. After being informed about the situation, local police started investigating surveillance footage in Wuhan, and 3 days ago, they were able to track down Yu to a small motel in Wuhan, Tianlong District.
This bitch was in a motel.
But when they arrived to the scene, officers were shocked to find the alleged victim casually lying on the bed watching TV.
Did she go to jail for this?
Let me see if she went to jail. Hold on. She was questioned by the police after her kidnapping. She was surprisingly calm, and she told them she recently found out that her boyfriend was poor. She faked her own kidnapping and murder, hoping that that would just give up and move on with his, and that he would give up and move on with his life.
Have you ever...
Oh, she actually was detained by police for 10 days for disrupting social order.
That might be bad. That might be worth it, bro.
You know, and then when we get out, bitch, you know I don't want you now. Don't ask me why I did what I did, goddamn.
You know he gonna be...
But I don't know why. No. Why you? Why? What happened? What?
No, that's Vietnamese, I think.
You know, yeah, I don't know what that is.
Wait, but damn, yeah, I can't get my Chinese good.
I thought.
No, Filipino, I can do. That's Filipino is different from Vietnamese. I'm thinking about my.
That was definitely Vietnamese because that's who.
That
my
was
nails.
Vietnamese. Filipino is more like.
Ma'am, so basically what I'm trying to say is that your phone is going to be working in about 2 hours.
The phone, you're like, no? That, what is Filipino
I'm
sound
doing
like?
Filipino customer service.
That's Filipino customer service though when you call like Sprint.
Where is the lie?
Because it is. Well, I hang out with real Filipinos. Oh, he said real Filipinos.
Oh, okay, trap, gang, gang. I can do it.
I'm done with y'all. So,
damn,
I guess.
Wait, Chinese is.
I don't know.
All I know is like, ni hao, but.
Ni hao, ni hao.
Ni hao, you fake that kidnapping, ho?
Ni hao.
Damn, dog.
I don't know. I just want to say that.
Honestly, I've never found
out. Would you leave someone because you found out they were broker than you thought they were? That's the question I wanted to ask.
The question is, how broke?
What is broke to you? Because we done had that question.
Oh man! I mean,
like I was talking to my homeboy last night, and he
don't
said,
have your own shit.
He was talking like, man, when I was regular, because we were talking about the Cardi B thing, and he's like, man, when I was regular, I used to easily be able to take strippers home and have sex with them. He was like, man, and all I threw was $500. I said, you're not regular.
No,
I said they went home with you because you threw $500, sir. So they thought they were gonna get more. I said a regular nigga working at FedEx ain't going into the strip club throwing $500 on a regular
FedEx
night.
FedEx ain't broke.
FedEx ain't throwing $500 in a club.
Facts, but
FedEx isn't broke, but it's not throwing $500 in a club.
You're right. I would say broke to me.
Don't be shaming the brokies listening to the podcast now.
No, like brokies broke to me is like you don't have your own place.
Okay, we're in New York. A roommate, is that fine?
I'll fucking do with a roommate, I guess, but I don't want to.
Okay.
And honestly, I haven't really had to because of their age.
Right. You be dealing with old niggas.
Right. I mean, and I'm talking about mid-30s. Jeeves had a roommate, but he's on his Brooklyn artist shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
that's
get
a
it.
Different scene.
It okay, is. So it's give a different
me
a vibe.
Give me a salary for
broke
a nigga
to
who's
me
broke.
Is you can't take me out. If you can't afford to take me out, I can't do it.
It's funny because I was telling my friend at this point, and we were talking about dating regular guys, and when she was dealing with the guys that she was dealing with, hookah, drinks, and food, bitch, it's $200. I said a regular guy cannot afford $800 a month on dates just to take you out once a week. That's a lot of money for a lot of guys. So that's a regular nigga. You would not date a regular nigga then if he couldn't take you out once a week.
Okay, when I was dating Jeeves, I would say he was the most modest of the people I've dated in a long time. He was able to afford to take me out.
Weekly?
We went out every week. I don't know. I saw him so often when I was dating him, like 3-4 times a week. We ate at home. One night a week we went out. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if we were spending $200. Like,
but see, you're not also one who's going to order 3 or 4 drinks when you go out. Like, that's me. That's her. And a hookah is $50.
Okay, I will say this, though. There was a difference with me going out of G's and me going with Beard Bay. Or me going out with a Blue Check type of, you know what I'm saying? Like,
there's a difference.
With me and Blue Check out, it's like, it was... You know, my cocktails are $25. Jeeves is the type of nigga who's like, yo, I found this Japanese underground. And I was
going underground. Yeah.
And I was vibing.
Different vibe.
But it still wasn't. And here's the thing, too. What I had with him was so enjoyable because we did do so much shit outside of the box. And I think that the idea of that $200 date, like, I hear you and it's true. But also, like,
I mean, they're not necessary. They're not necessary, but for someone like myself or my friends who a night out is going to get hookah, it is going to get multiple drinks because we drink a lot. To me, to expect that from someone is a lot. So if that's what I like a lot, knowing that it's going to cost you $200 a week if we go out once a week, that's $800 a month. A regular person can't sign up for that.
Here's the other thing. Is it really a thing to where every weekend would be $200? Because you might have...
It might be $150. But between dinner at the places that I may like and drinks... See, I don't think you don't drink a lot.
I'm not saying that. Like, the way you're talking is like Nobu STK drinks.
Not even that. No. If I go to Applebee's and we sit here and we both order meals, that's
$20. Like $8? $10?
Yeah, like $10. If we sit there and we're sitting there for an hour or two, you can easily spend,
I guess you're right, $120.
$50, $80 on drink. Easy. $4 a drink? Yeah, like $120.
He said, I'm broken.
And he broke, and you know, that could be
okay,
$120
so you're
easily.
Broke, you're saying. So, like.
You don't have to say it back. You don't say it back.
I mean, you know.
He can call himself broke. You can't.
Great job on the video. I'm glad we paid you. So, okay. You're saying you're broke. When you meet somebody and you want to go out, what's your.
I always think outside the box. I agree with you.
Like, what's the last.
I think about some crazy shit. Like, I'll spend 5 hours with somebody. I'll spend, like, less than $50 just because they.
Less than $50 on a 5 hour date, he just said. Doing what?
Walking in the park, no. Getting hungry. Relax. I'm just saying. Coffee.
I always vet them. I find out what they're into.
Yes, so you vet the girls. You find out with coffee.
I went out with one of your former guests on the show. Actually.
You went out with one of our former guests.
She's 25. I'm 21.
Hold on. You're only 21 years old?
Oh, you a baby. You could be broke. That's fine at 21.
Yeah. That's different.
That's allowed.
Okay, so yeah. I guess there is an age limit to that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No, you're not going to do this. Don't mouth shit while we on the air. Ask him when we get off, bitch.
Damn, I'm trying to think. Well, hold on. No. I want to say 21.
A little in trouble.
That age.
I get that.
You have to remember, we're almost 30.
We're older. Oh, don't say that. We're 28. Like, I don't like saying we're almost 30.
We're 28.
We're 28. Don't say we're almost 30.
I'm expecting men my age to be. I would not expect that from a 21-year-old.
Yeah, not from a 21. Well, my 21-year-old.
And I wasn't going on dates like that when I... Well...
Yeah, you was. Because you was having niggas pay to take you on dates, bitch.
What's your price?
So we're going to go ahead and get into the whole
meal. I was like, let me counter offer. And I'm waiting for them to accept. And I was like, I hope so.
I hate you. If you guys are patrons, I will go ahead and post these articles so that you can delve into them and read them and undo all that good shit. So we're going to get into our whole meal. I have one, and then Weezy's going to read off the second one. So this one, the title, I just laughed when I saw it. I fucked his teammates. Sorry. Is the title.
I saw that just came in today.
Yes, it just came in today. I consider myself to be somewhat of a groupie. I love professional athletes. I've dealt with quite a few. Recently, I've been dealing with one and things have started to get serious. We've met each other's families and everything. I've never gotten this serious with an athlete before. The only problem is that I fucked two of his teammates in the past. I'm scared that he will find out somehow. I know that my name has been brought up during locker room talk because one of the teammates I fucked hit me up and was like, I heard you're talking to so-and-so. But my boo has never said anything about it nor asked me anything, so I don't think he knows. Should I come clean and say something to him before he finds out, or should I just hope it never comes out? Maybe Mandy can help me because she's had dealings with athletes before. If I know a similar situation and how it can be dealt with. Sincerely, groupie ho.
Maybe Mandy can help you.
Mandy, I actually need
to go to the bathroom. Maybe let me just take my piss break now.
No, so I actually wanted to bring this up because this doesn't only have to be in context to professional athletes.
I was going to say, I would definitely tell him. I think he definitely knows.
It could be just to, it could be to groups of friends. It could be to someone where you met on Instagram and then you see down the line, oh shit, he got a picture with such and such.
Let's relate it to real life.
No.
Damn, bro, we got to look up her email. I want to see what she looks like fucking on these niggas.
I have been in this situation, actually, kind of recently, too. But I'm very honest with the people who I've dealt with. I've had these relationships. And so even one guy that I saw recently, he came back from the past and he's currently on the team with a nigga that was also on my phone. And he knew, like, so long story short, we talked about it. I think that you'd be surprised how much niggas talk. They talk way more than girls. So I wouldn't doubt if he does already know. I think just to give yourself the peace of mind, you should bring it up and be like, listen, I would never want to embarrass you while we're out, and I would never want you to feel blindsided by anything. So I do want to let you know this happened. I hope it doesn't change our relationship. If it does, it wasn't meant to be, but you can't take the bodies off your pussy.
I love what you said. That's except for one word.
What?
Embarrass.
I'm saying embarrassed when we go out.
But that's not something that should be shameful.
No.
But we need to change that thinking.
No,
and I'm going to tell you why.
No. Niggas, okay, so I don't want to crush your ego. But if a man, and we brought this up on the show
before. I like the word blindsided
before.
More than I do embarrassed. And I'm going to tell you why. When we use words like that, it implies that maybe we may be ashamed. And even though you may not, that gives that implication.
That's what, not that I'm
what
embarrassed.
What I do has nothing, what I've done should not be an embarrassment to you. You walking into a room with someone I fuck should not be embarrassed. You know why? Because I'm a fucking adult, and I've fucked.
An adult?
And you've fucked.
Okay, adult.
That's a very big deal, though.
Adult.
Using words like that. I don't want you to feel embarrassed. No. I love what you said about blindsided, because that's a better word. I just want to, like, make you aware, because I don't want you to just be caught off guard in case it happens.
Okay, so eliminate embarrass out that, but pretty much let him know that you're telling him not to stir anything, not to be, you know,
make it a big fucking deal.
No,
either.
Just say, listen, I would say let him know, let him decide whether it means a lot to you or not. I will say a lot of these niggas don't even like each other, bruh. So it might not even be that they're friends. It might not mean anything to him at all. And a lot of them get traded and end up on other teams and have all new teammates next year. So it may not even be a long-term issue. So that's how I would deal with
that. I agree. I think that making people aware of who you slept with is a nice thing to do. I don't know if it's necessary, but in this case, I would.
Yeah,
because they're technically colleagues. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you fucked my coworker, I would want to know. I'm just walking in the office so this bitch, every time I come in here, she's been looking at me funny. Now I know why. And you also don't want to feel talked about behind, you know, someone's back. But just the only reason I made a big deal about that word embarrassed is because we have unknowingly presented things in ways that it may seem like it's shameful, but it's not. And I want to make sure that, like, and it's hard not to, because our minds work this way. We grow up, society, being women, being shamed. That's the first thing you thought of, and that's what I would think. I don't want you to feel. Nah. Stand in your truth. You don't have to be a whore.
Because you letting all these niggas know who I am.
Exactly. You don't have to be a whore because you fucked a nigga on a team.
And I won't bring up names. Like, I'm not a pillow talker, but if it's in a situation like this, or I see that, they know each other, or they're tweeting, or they're Instagram things, like, I'm not going to lie, the person that I cuddled with last night knows the MCM that I post often. And so that was brought up because he's like, you deal with my homeboy. And so that was kind of awkward. And I was just like, the only thing that saved me was I don't think he realized I really knew the nigga, because he was like, you can't know him because you don't post niggas you really fuck with. And I was like, actually.
So why do you post this guy?
I really like him. We vibe. He supports everything that we do with the podcast. When I met him, I don't know. I just really vibe with him. So, like, he's never ashamed. He comments under all my pictures. He loves what we do with the podcast. He loves the drive that I do. And because he's a creative in a sense, he supports me as a creative.
That's why I'm kind of fucking with Raya, bro.
I love it.
And honestly, that's probably why Jeeves came to our show, right, at Gotham. Mm-hmm. And is always so, like, fuck yes about what I'm doing. And I realized because he's on that creative shit.
I love it.
Right? Like, I could sit there for him with hours and talk about content, about guys I used to fuck today. And he'd be like, I think I love that story. It's great.
And that's why my friend that I was with last night, he brought me around millionaire, like, white people. But they're in the tech space, the radio space. They do algorithms and all this stuff. And Literally,
that's a Dumbo House scene.
We went to Dumbo House, like met all these rich people. We were at PhD, so he's bringing me around them, and we're having these talks about numbers, algorithms, stats, all this stuff that has to do with music, but also relates to podcasting. And literally, as he's introducing me to these white men, he's like, "Yo, this is my friend. She has one of the dopest podcasts, like super numbers. They're on tour." He's selling me to these people, and then as we're having these conversations, these rich white men are asking me how I'm doing things, and we're having these long conversations. So at the end of the night, while we're cuddling, he's like, "Man, I like you." He's like, "The fact that I could bring you around these people that I want to do business with, they respected you. They all gave me their business cards." He was like, "Do you know how sexy it was to me that another, like, just a woman that I could bring around wasn't embarrassed to speak her mind?"
Bitch, why you relate?
I'll show you him. And we just vibed. And
you just really made me realize when I started liking Beard Bay.
Yeah.
When I went to New Orleans, we're eating. This nigga, he knows.
Bitch, you've been liked him before New Orleans.
I'm feeling now. I was into him, but not like this. When we were in New Orleans, and it's mainly because of that conversation I had with Shan Booty, where she was like, "Bro, the thing that the last dude didn't like about you, this next one is going to love." She was like, "That last dude didn't like that you were too wild. He's not going to be able to stop telling people how wild you are. The next one is for you." And I'm not saying he's for me or anything, but we were out. And he ran into a nigga he knew. And he was more excited than my podcast than me. He was like, "Yo, she got this podcast and it's like crazy." And blah, 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 blah. And he's smiling, talking about it. And it was nice.
It's so nice.
It's Monday morning. I'm sitting on his lap. He's showing me a video on his phone. And Horrible Decisions has a new episode popped up. And I was like, "You subscribe to my podcast?" And he was like, "Yeah, I'm subscribed to your podcast." And I was like, "Damn."
I'll tell you now.
Because when people say they fuck with you, I don't really know if they fucking do.
I'll tell you now, bitch, all my old niggas, all coming back. And it's disgusting. Like, one, it's disgusting. First off, and a lot of them now are free agents and not even in the league no more. Mm-hmm. But all my old athletes, like, that we just didn't really do nothing. Like, one wants me to consult him because he wants to start a podcast now.
Oh.
The other one hit me and was like, "Yo, I was talking to my cousin and my cousin brought you up. Yo, you popping." Another one was talking about the tour. But they ain't got my number. And I'm not hitting them back on my new number, but they're all hitting me through Instagram, through Twitter, my email.
You had a new number?
From when I was fucking them, bitch.
Damn, bitch.
Dog, the one nigga.
What I was thinking. You had this
one
number.
The one nigga we fucked 6 years ago. And he's hitting me like, "Yeah," on some reminiscing shit. I was like, "I don't remember. Like, we fucked. I've had a lot since then, sir. And I'm not interested in you no more. Like, what? Like, don't
bitch,
come back."
Do you remember this nigga I fucked? He plays ball overseas. And I just recently found him again. I don't know how we found each other. But the point is, bitch, he sent his dick. And he was nice and chocolatey. And
you don't remember it?
I mean, yeah. But I remember it being big. It's just like, we didn't really connect on another level. Like, you know I'm emotional. But bitch, hold on, look at this dick. Do you remember him? And I went to Europe when he was playing in Europe. I went to Switzerland.
We might not have been friends then.
We were. You don't remember him? I was living with Cooley at the time.
I don't remember him. He fine, though.
Bitch of shit. And he slapped the dick on his stomach, bitch.
I hate you.
I love a good stomach slap.
Nah, I've literally come to all them. Like, I don't know why they're all coming back.
Great mushroom.
Like,
you see that slap? Oh,
I love a mushroom head. But no, I really think, like, it's to the point where.
Just like this.
I feel like we've had conversations. Like, I hate you. Look, we don't want to see you slap your dick on your stomach. No. Yeah, no, not even just a little bit. No.
Nope.
I gotta pay to see you slap your dick on your stomach?
First of all.
Actually, I don't pay for dick, ever. I get it for free. But no, I think it's weird, though, that a lot of them are coming from the past and now are just like, "I'm so proud of you. I always knew you was gonna be a star." Like, and it's just kind of like, "I don't want you now." Like, back then we could have
talked. It's an awkward feeling.
It's awkward as
fuck.
Girl, even a nigga I fucked in high school and came back.
Oh, same.
High school, bruh. Take your ass.
You know why?
Home.
Because we've been doing this for 2 years, right? We come in the studio with the same energy. We be mad. Sometimes we don't.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And we've been putting the same energy. It's just now other people are giving us more energy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because, like, some people will be like, "Oh, Like, y'all piped up about nothing. But my nigga, anytime we've arrived at a city, the show was sold out.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to knock on wood because I don't think I need to because that's just a fucking trend. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's not luck. You know what I mean?
Y'all fuck with us in real life.
I've been to enough live podcasts now to know there is nothing like we do. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because of the audience we have.
We have great audience.
I don't know if it's, even when they suck, the show is still good.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say what city it was, but you know what I'm talking about.
Even, that was in your opinion. You just didn't, we're not going to get into that.
I don't think that audience had the energy that we've had at other shows. But even that show, when I thought I was going to open my DMs and people were like, I can't, I'm so glad I drove all this way. And I'm like,
yeah,
what?
No, they love it. They thank us. And
it's engaging. It's also reflective as to what we do on the podcast. Like, we don't really deter too much. And it's, I read a comment where someone said they're exactly what I thought they would be. And I was like,
it's perfect.
Yeah.
That's what I want people to think.
Me too. And like, that felt good because sometimes I've been to a live podcast where I was so excited to see them. And I was like, oh.
Right.
I did have a good time at Brilliance, the one we went to together. With your mom?
My first time seeing the Joe Budden pod actually at Highline was really good. They had the live.
That was a great fucking time.
That was a really good one. They had the stage set up exactly like the living room venue.
That one was beautiful. But you know what? And it's funny
because...
They shut
that down.
What?
Highline is no longer open.
No, it wasn't Highline. I'm wrong. I like the Sony Music Theater.
I didn't see Highline. Yeah,
but they did dope. Have the they had the couch and they had the background and like I loved that energy.
Oh, Sony, that one too. That was a great one.
Yeah,
Sony was a good one. I guess before we head out of here though, guys, we do want to thank you again. I do want to shout out, homie Don Cannon sent me the shirts. Shout out to Don Cannon. I do also want to say that is the studio we use when we are in Atlanta. So if you are in Atlanta and podcasting, Mean Street Studios is where we recorded.
What a nigga
ain't said he went. What? Oh, I got three. I got three. You can have one.
You about to hold it, bitch.
I was going to hold it. I was going to give you one. He sent me three.
Cool for some.
I mean, you take the black one because I want the neon green one. I'll give you the black one, but thanks, Don Cannon. Shout out to you, everything you got going on. You a creative, so he supports everything that we got going on, too. I guess, is there any other things that we want to shout out? I guess they've supported us in everything that we've done. So if you are in Atlanta, Cocktails Podcast with Kiki and Medina, they added a second show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So if you guys are interested in
you
checking
guys have
out,
been writing us about Atlanta, go and support these black girls in your city, nearby your city. They are so sweet. Mm-hmm. I know it's a silly thing to say, but like they just really supported us.
They've
been to all of our shows.
She's coming to Houston. Kiki's coming
to
Houston.
Are they
for
from
our show.
Texas?
Yeah, she is. So check them out. Super dope. Check out. I think they're doing their show the same time we're actually in
Toronto.
You
know what's so funny? It's like almost unspoken. I think if I had to compare myself to anyone on Cocktails, I think I'm more like Medina. I think
I'm more like Kiki.
And
that's who we...
Not like I don't fuck. I fuck with Kiki.
Right. And Medina's cool as hell. But yeah.
We both talked to
the other one.
That's so funny.
And then I also, too, want to give a shout out to Wind Down Wednesday and my homegirl, Lex P. and Drea. They both have been on this podcast and they're
really
building
fun.
Their...
I liked that episode a lot. It was fun.
So check them out. I don't know. Everyone, we're excited to see you guys on the rest of the tour.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I forgot to shout out the team. Really quick. Small podcast. It's in Connecticut. They're growing. And these girls have treated me better than I've treated people that have come to our
show. I know,
shit.
Bitch.
They
shitted on us. I'm mad you posted all that because now people going to think we need to treat them.
I felt
like
guilty.
That.
So I arrived there.
She had chocolate covered strawberries with her goddamn name on
them.
They
brought it out because they knew I was allergic to eggs and my birthday was that week, or it was that Sunday. And they fucking bring it out with a sparkler. They were just so, they wrote me a thank you note about how much we're an inspiration to them. And like,
the pictures look dope too.
They were so sweet. She was like, we dressed like 11 hip hop reunion. You know, bro, I'm going to tell you about fuck with them, my nigga. She had the receipt and my money the second I was done. I was like, thank you.
I know that's right.
You know, I mean, I had my deposit at first, but I fuck with that shit because not to say that.
Watch your words here.
I feel
like it's going to be some black people don't be paying
no.
shit.
No.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say for somebody that is not, I didn't know their name at first until they wrote me. For something smaller, or something not, like, you know, they had their shit so seamless, bro. Shout out to that manager. I legit was like, I think I want you.
Right.
She was giving these girls towels, waters. They didn't do nothing, Mandy. And the way we be running around.
I've been told you about this shit. But you don't want to give a percentage,
she was
ho.
An event. I'm
tell them how you don't want to pay nobody a percentage, ho.
It's not a percentage.
You said we get all the door, but if we got a manager, now we got to cut.
She's. I want to pay her. I told her good. I would love for you to be
so
a part of our shit.
You're growing.
When I arrived with Enoch, he drove me up.
She wanted to die.
She was outside.
We get the whole
dope. Oh, I wanted the whole door. She was ready outside and willing, okay? She was like, we have someone assigned to you for the night if you need anything. Bro, they was treating me like I was fucking Beyonce. And I'm telling you right now, the fucking Tito's cheese and crackers, bitch, was ready. No eggs.
Little do they know, you don't even drink like that.
But I was drinking it, though.
You was drinking Tito's?
And I just fuck with that shit. And, you know, just meeting our listeners and, you know, different plays, it was dope. And I realized, like, that is the kind of shit we need. We hiring that fucking girl that was running around. She was insane.
I like that.
They have flowers ready for me, bitch. I'm not saying we doing all that, but just
don't even want to pay for an extra mic. And she talks. You think she finna pay for flowers?
I don't want to do all that.
She get on my goddamn nerves. She's
I'm just
right
saying,
the bitch. She's like, wait, a wireless costs $40. Actually, we'll take the wire. Thanks.
Sex.
Like, this bitch be lying like a little pussy.
It's
asshole.
The same. No,
bro, you. I don't want right to buy people for the tea, bitch.
I don't want to buy flowers. But her, the way that they didn't stress, and she was running around.
Actually, we'll just hand the mic off. We don't have to pay that $40. Like, shut your Jew ass up, dog. Cause you be cheap as fuck, and you out here talking about flowers. No,
I'm appreciative of what they did. I didn't say I wanted to do it.
Bitch! Oh, lies.
I'm saying I appreciate what they did. I didn't want to say I want to do it for other people. I just want their manager to come and do our New York shit.
That calls,
all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
I want
that calls. It's a cost,
right? But like, not a lot, right?
See what I'm talking about? I'm not playing with you. Anyways, guys, as you guys know, we are able to be on the tour because of you. There are still tickets left.
Not because of you, because of our fucking
patrons.
Because
of our patrons, my bad. Not because of all of y'all.
I got to pee. Bye, y'all.
But because of our patrons. Again, we do have tickets left for the second show that's in L.A. It will be at the Hollywood Improv on May 12th. Please check us out. The May 11th Saturday show is completely sold out, but we have tickets left in L.A., and there are a very few tickets left in Toronto. Other than that, bitch, we sold out everywhere else. Houston is officially 100% sold out. Miami is officially sold out. Both Chicago shows that we have already done were sold out. Everything's sold out for the rest of the tour, except for that second show in LA on May 12th and our very last show in Toronto on May 18th. There are less than 10 tickets for that, though. So we're looking forward to seeing you guys. Again, this is all because you guys support us and have become patrons and allow us to now travel the country and give you guys this show and meet you guys in person. So we want to thank you. Before we get up out of here, we are going to drop you a clip of one of our bonus episodes. And again, this is just a whole nother episode that you get. As of right now, we have about 30 extra bonus episodes. So if you are all caught up on all 100 plus episodes, you can become a patron and listen to more. So once again, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.
By the way, I didn't let anybody know until now. Actually, I'm ready to talk about it. No, not fully.
But yeah, well, you got married. Did you think he was the one?
Yeah, I did. I did. I didn't marry for money because he didn't have it. I married because, and that's not shade. That's the truth. I was the breadwinner.
Yeah.
You know, and still am. But in terms of I married for love, I married because I saw someone who I considered my equal and someone that I wanted the best for and us to be able to work and grow together.
How many, like, loves do you think we get on Sex in the City? They say you get two great loves, right? But then there's other things I read about, like twin flames and this kind of soulmate and blah blah blah. How many do you think we get in life? Do you
as
think
much
as much as we
I think we have multiple soulmates. I think that we go, our bodies go, we are in a constant stage of evolution, and as our minds and our hearts and our spirits continue to grow and we continue to gather information, right? Because our bodies are, we store that. We store that in our skin. We store it in our minds. We store it in our eyes, in our hearts. With that comes life experiences. And over time, you can, yes, have, I do believe, have multiple soulmates. I don't know necessarily all at the same time, but I do believe over time, gradually, you meet people in life that you connect with, and maybe it's a different connection from what you had before with the other partner. I have a twin flame. May he rest in peace. He will still be my twin flame.
Right.
You know, he's someone that I can still feel every now and then, or I'll see these little glimmers and I'm like, okay,
right.
You came through. You showed me you're still around. And I believe in that. So to answer your question, I think that we over time can have more than one soulmate and not just two.
What about when you've had them? Have you noticed anything that's the same? Because I have. When I meet these people. Have you? What is it like?
For me, I think what is the same is feeling something familiar.
Oh, my God. I was just going to say, whenever I meet a guy that I know will be around or a friend I know I'll see again, I'm like, I feel like I know you already.
Yeah. What I say to that is I'll say it's nice to see you again. And they know what I mean because they understand it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's nice to see you again.
The first time you meet them?
Yeah.
Like the last person I met like that who was Jeeves, the guy you saw at the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was
after
that.
The one sitting across from me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That super fucking depressing breakup I had, right? And I was like, oh, my God, I'm never going to meet anybody else. And it was a date that I didn't want to go on. And it was just like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I meet this guy. It was like 10 minutes, maybe less than that. Maybe a few. I don't know. I was sitting there and I texted my friends like, oh, my God, he's going to be my next boyfriend.
Mm.
Like I could feel
it. You could feel it.
And it's so crazy because we go on these dates with people and we immediately know we may not see them again or they're not that interesting. Why do we stay?
Because I think for the why we stay is because it's innate within us to not give up right away and still give it one more try. Like, let me see this out one more time or two more times and see where that goes. So that's why I think we do stay for an extra day or a third day is to say, well, sometimes people are nervous on the first try. It's just like nervous sex. You know, it's like, oh, let's just get that shit out the way.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like,
because it's true.
You know, and maybe be able to.
But is the one going to be like that? Probably not.
Probably not. I've had soulmates that are, you know, because these are former lovers, but we're still good friends and they know who they are. And I knew just by them walking in the room, my throat felt like it was choking up because I just knew, like, physically and spiritually and emotionally, I was like, oh my gosh, my body, the compass is towards him. And it felt the same way. And
your body compass.
My body compass.
Now, the person that you're dating, you've been friends with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know because I always feel like if we didn't immediately get together, I mean, maybe we're not supposed to be together.
Right.
So
I think.
And you're so in love.
I think for me, the space that I'm in right now is where the older I get, the more that I realize that love comes in many ways. And I'm in a headspace to be able to communicate that to anyone I'm dating or who I'm currently dating, is to be able to say, like, this is where I'm at. It can also sound like I'm saying open relationship or a polyamorous relationship. I'm not saying that, which I do support, by the way. Like, if it works for you, I support open relationships. I support poly life. Go for it.
Right.
Definitely. It's not for everyone. I've done it. But I think that's also too case by case. I also think monogamy is beautiful if you have someone that you are interested in and it's consensual, for sure.
Yeah.
But the kind of love space that I'm in right now is delivering and receiving all forms of love. And that could be anything from self-love. It can also be love that I want to exchange with you, that I want to exchange with the person that I'm dating. And why I say that is because for me, one person cannot be my everything. And that sounds horrible, right?
Now, how does that factor into monogamy? Because I agree with that statement.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
which one? The monogamy or
No. You saying that one person can't be your everything.
Yeah.
So you're saying you don't necessarily need to have another boyfriend to be your everything. You just need to have those people in your life.
Yes. And that